This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundworks, the magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Oh. And welcome to the second edition of Soundblast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's iPod, the totally non-visual magazine. The first edition was rewarded with some very generous comments, and we're particularly grateful to Roy Tate, Helmut Thulin, and Eric White, whose emails said all sorts of nice things. Thank you. I'm Sandy Simpson. I'm with David, by the way, in the signal box today, as you may hear. There's a lot to come in this edition of Soundblast, so much indeed that we've split it into three sections, each between 10 and 15 minutes long. In this first section, the indefatigable David, by the way, will be speaking with Martin Brough and Bob Campbell, the moving spirits behind an exhibition in Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum entitled Glasgow Electrics 50, 1960 to 2010, covering the history of Scotland's first electric commuter trains, the iconic Blue Trains. But just before we hear from David, there's a fascinating and little-known link between the first Blue Trains and Bowness. Only dyed-in-the-wool elderly anoraks know that the complete three-car mock-up built in the pressed steel workshops during design development work carried the destination Bowness on its screen. There's a photograph on page 101 of the second volume of Brian Hairsnape's 1969 book Railway Design Since 1830, illustrating this rather surprising feature. And, of course, the only remaining complete three-car Class 303 is here in Bowness, but more of that later. Now, David, by the way, climbs aboard to speak with Martin Brough and Bob Campbell.
Can you tell me why the trains were withdrawn?
Well, the public service began the 7th of November 1960, and, you know, huge crowds flocked to the Blue Trains, and there were doing very well, but unfortunately there had been a number of explosions involving the transformers, the windings in the transformers. There'd been oil overheating, and it was causing a build-up of vapour, which eventually caused explosions. I actually experienced one such instance myself. At that time I was working at Dosholm, the steam depot in Glasgow, and oddly enough I used to travel home at night and then have my tea, and then travel back up to night school in Glasgow, because I was travelling free, of course. Anyhow, one night I was travelling up from Balloch in the guards van. I was travelling with Charlie Doyle, he's a Balloch guard. They had guards vans in those days, which they no longer have. And we were just coming into Hindland, and Charlie went across and snapped down the window to look out, coming into the island platform at Hindland station, and he shouted, "My God, we're on fire!" So when we got into Hindland station, Charlie grabbed the dry fire extinguisher. You couldn't use a wet fire extinguisher on electrics. You had to use a dry fire extinguisher. So he grabbed the dry fire extinguisher and dived under the train. And needless to say, I didn't arrive in Glasgow by Blue Train that night. I ended up on a corporation bus. Mm-hmm. Had to walk to Partick and get the corporation bus. But anyhow, just shortly after that, on the 13th of December, an early morning train, about 7 a.m. in the morning, had left Balloch for Bridgeton, and it was just leaving near Renton station on the Balloch branch when there was a tremendous explosion in the motor unit between the passenger compartment and the guards van. That was where all the electrics went up from down below up to the pantograph. There was a tremendous explosion. It blew out the wall of the compartment. Seven passengers were injured, and the guard was seriously injured. And it was just after that, there was also an explosion at Garrow Hill station. And the day after that, the decision was taken to withdraw the electrics completely. They were withdrawn on the 19th of December, 1960. and they did not resume until the 2nd of October 1961. In the meantime, all the electric units were taken away back down to Manchester in England to have their transformers modified, and all the driving trailers were stored at either Hindland Depot in Glasgow or down at Ardmore Sidings near Helensburgh.
And how did they replace the trains? What did they use to replace the
trains? Well, that was a wonderful piece of organisation which they could not do in the railways, the modern railway today. It just could not be done in the fragmented railways we have today. I was working at Dosholm Shed at that time in the office, and the steam trains were withdrawn on the 19th of December. On the 2nd of just a couple of days later, the steam service was back in full operation. Now, the size of that operation just cannot be imagined, because the old steam engines, the old tank engines that had worked on the Queen Street low-level lines, the Central low-level lines, they'd been dispersed all over the country. There were some of them right here in sidings at Bowness. There were some at Bathgate. There were some at Hurlford. Some had gone to Fife. They were all over the country. The coaches had been dispersed all over the country. Some of them were down at Ayr. Some of them were out at Heathery Now Sidings. Some were at Ardmore Sidings near Helensburgh. They were all over the place. In just a couple of days, all the engines, all the carriages were back in Glasgow. The steam engines were back at Parkhead and Dosholm and St Rollox and Polmadee and Motherwell and Hamilton Sheds. They were all back again. Balloch Shed had closed, but they even reopened Balloch Steam Shed. They even reopened it. And Helensburgh, of course, they reopened it.
And how long did they run the steam trains for?
Well, as I say, the electric services were withdrawn on the 19th of December 1960, and they did not resume until the 2nd of October 1961, so it was almost a year later.
We're sitting in the carriage here. There's about 60 seats here. It looks a bit forlorn, a bit lost, a bit sad. So tell me, Martin, go back to the days when the trains were introduced. Why were these trains so important?
I would say these trains are so important because obviously it was the first electrification scheme in Scotland. And prior to that, obviously, it was purely steam traction. And obviously, with steam trains, there's a lot of issues regarding maintenance of the steam trains. And going through the centre of Glasgow, there was a lot of tunnels. So there was problems with like smoke and all the dirt and grime going through the tunnels in Glasgow. So with these new electric trains, it was a nice, clean, fast sort of service. There was less maintenance issues, and perhaps maybe it was harder to get people to man the train. So really, it was a very good sort of scheme. Nice, clean trains going through the tunnels, and they were easier to maintain.
Bob, do you remember when the trains were first introduced?
At that time, I was working at Dosholm Loco Depot, the steam depot, in the office. But on the Sunday, my whole family, my mum, dad, my two sisters and me, we went down to Balloch Central and travelled right through to Airdrie, and we came back to Bell Grove and travelled up to Springburn because my parents had once lived up in Springburn, and then we came back down to Queen Street Low Level, and then we travelled back to Balloch.
And what was your reaction? What did you think of the trains?
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, it was a comparison between night and day, between the old steam trains and the lovely, shiny, new, comfortable electrics.
And what did the public think about them?
Well, the public were absolutely thrilled by them, because on the Sunday, there were unprecedented scenes at Glasgow Queen Street Low Level. There were big queues sneaked out of the low level all day. People were just dying to get on the trains, and although it was the middle of winter, Helensburgh seafront was going like a summer Sunday, never mind a midwinter Sunday. At Balloch, the shops were doing a roaring trade. Even Mulgay, there were crowds arriving constantly at Mulgay station. So, and then when the service began, they were an instant success. A lot of it was down to the wonderful marketing, because somebody had the brilliant idea using the slogan Glasgow Electric. And, of course, there was the wonderful double flash symbol, the blue flash representing the converging banks of the River Clyde, and the yellow flash was the pantograph that collected the electric current overhead. And that appeared in everything. It appeared in publicity materials and timetables and station signs, etc.
How long did the trains run for?
They lasted a very long time. I mean, it was only, I was on the last blue train, which ran, I've actually got it jotted down here, 30th of December 2002 was the last public run. By that time, the rails were privatised, of course. It was under, it was National Express who were running ScotRail at that time. And they arranged for units 303011 and 303088, two units. They travelled from Belgrove to Helensburgh Central. And I was actually, I joined it at Queen Street, and a lot of the old Blue Train staff were actually on that train, you know, people who had worked with the Blue Trains. The men who went on the electrics were the old steam men, the senior men. They went on the electrics. The younger men, the younger drivers, the past firemen at Balloch and Helensburgh, one of two things happened to them. A lot of them were either redundant and they had to find jobs elsewhere, or some of them transferred down south, down to depots like Old Oak Common in the Western Region, Camden Town in the London Midland Region, even Waterloo. Later on, I emigrated to Australia. I didn't like it and came back. And for a short time, I worked at Waterloo in London, at the electric depot at Waterloo, and I was amazed to find a former driver from Doss Home working out of Waterloo on the electric units.
Mm-hmm. We're sitting in one of the units today. What's your views, what's your feelings when you look around this?
This is a refurbished unit, the Strathclyde Passenger Transport refurbished the Class 303s, the original blue trains. Well, the unit we're sitting in is one of the units that was refurbished in the mid-1980s by Strathclyde Passenger Transport. That was to extend the life of the blue trains. And I personally did not like the refurbishment. I think they were actually worse after the refurbishment than the original lovely blue trains, because the original trains had lovely, comfy seating with a nice stripe pattern. The walls were a nice Formica panelling, you know, flecked Formica, various colours. Some of it was grey, some was yellow, different colours according to the compartments. They had, if you were sitting in the front carriage, or the back carriage as the case may be, depending on the direction, you had a wonderful view of where you were going or where you had been.
And what do you think about the modern trains on the Glasgow suburban lines?
Well, I like them. I like all the modern trains, the 334s, the Juniper units, the 320s on the North Electrics, the 318s that were introduced for the air and large electrification. The only ones I didn't like was the 314s. they were introduced for the Argyle line. There were 16 of them built for the Glasgow Central low-level electrification. That is the only ones I don't like because, as I say, they're not well-appointed internally. And the chap who designed them so that you're always looking at a pillar instead of out of a window. So, hence, I don't like them.
By David Bytheway, who was speaking with Martin Brough and Bob Campbell. The exhibition Glasgow Electrics 50, 1960 to 2010, is in Glasgow's Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum until 7th February. And the three vehicles currently stored here in Bo'ness with a view to their restoration are DTSO, that's Driving Trailer Standard Class Open, carriage number 75597 from Unit 032, its first cousin, BDTSO, Brake Driving Trailer Standard Class Open, 75632 from Unit 032, and their flanking MBSO, Motor Brake Standard Open, number 61503, which was originally part of Unit 023. This is a good time to mention that the only surviving three-car blue train is a candidate to be moved from its present outdoor storage location in Bo'ness, where it's subject to the ravages of weather, into the £200,000 covered storage accommodation which is planned to cover the four sidings between the Reserve Collection Building and the modern Motive Power Depot. Museums Galleries Scotland has awarded the Society a grant of £160,000 to meet 80% of the budget for this much-needed facility, leaving the Society to find £40,000. Not a lot if you say it quickly. £40,000! And one which can quickly be attained if lots of us send a cash Christmas present to the project. The man who wants our money is Alastair George, that's Alastair George, and you can reach him at 4 Babberton Mains Avenue, Edinburgh. 4 Babberton Mains, that's B-A-B-E-R-T-O-N, Babberton Mains Avenue, Edinburgh, EH14-3EQ. Or as many say nowadays, Edinburgh EH14-3EQ. Make sure Alistair knows your donation is a Christmas present to the Covered Storage Accommodation Project. And that pretty well wraps up part one of this second edition of Soundblast. Parts two and three are available as separate downloads. The Infant Soundblast is, of course, a kissing cousin of the Society's long-established magazine, Blastpipe, where you will find pictures as well as text describing developments within the Society and events on the Bowness and Kinneil Railway. The Autumn Diesel Gala, on which we just managed a brief report in the first edition of Soundblast, is one of the features in the winter edition of Blastpipe, with a photo spread on pages 25, 26 and 27. And you'll find the Soundblast logo on page 19. I would invite you to click on the link, but I'm afraid that won't actually work on paper. The next edition of Soundblast is already in the pipeline, and in the meanwhile you can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, all in lowercase, that's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, or you can write to us at Soundblast, 2 months this time with initial capitals, Soundblast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The producer, tireless roving reporter and editor has been David Bytheway, and I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you, wherever you are, a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday if you prefer that, and a vibrant and prosperous new year to everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society in Bowness in Scotland.